morning. So thankful that you're here this morning. So thankful that you're joining us live stream. We appreciate you. We love you. We hope that you're able to join back with us soon. We are going to continue our church series, and this morning we're going to discuss community. We've alluded to this. We are going to see a little bit of overlap this morning, but the concept, I think, can easily be missed if we're not looking for it, especially when we read our Bibles. When you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus did not live this private life. His devotion to God was to serve others, to teach others, to show them how they can truly love each other. Jesus was devoted to service. He wasn't isolated. He wasn't alone. He went out and he reached out to individuals. And our culture struggles with this because we've created this idea of individualism, self-promotion. It's me first. Our system that we live in now has built around the individual promoting self rather than promoting God. And this causes difficulty when we read the scriptures. The difficulty comes that when you read your Bible, quite often you see yourself in the account, just you as an individual. But what I want to encourage you to do this morning is to open your eyes. When you study the scriptures, do you see individuals only, or do you see a collective group? We say the mature Christian is someone who has a strong prayer life, good study habits. It's a person who wages wars against sin. He has this consistent personal commitment to God. But this creates that format of you and God only outlook. You miss the greater whole when you do this. So far, what we've been talking about is that the church is a family. We're a team. We're in this together. So this idea of community fills the entire Old Testament and the New Testament. It uses this collaborative language. The last moments of Jesus' life, he showed his apostles how to serve each other, how to love one another, and to be united. When you read John 13, verses 34 and 35, and John 17, 20 through 23, these are Jesus' last moments with his apostles. And what does he tell them? Your love for one another is going to be like a billboard to the world. Your unity with one another is going to convince the world that Jesus truly came from God. Take away those two things. If we don't have love for one another, what does that teach and tell the world about Jesus? If we're not truly united with the same beliefs, goals, and outlook, that will never convict the world that Jesus truly came from the Father. These are crucial. These are very important for us. The idea is that what God has created for us here on earth, it should replicate what it will be like in heaven. Have you ever imagined what heaven will be like? When you picture heaven, do you just see yourself with God only? Or do you see yourself with loved ones who have gone on before you? Do you see yourself with people that you've recognized here at Center Chapel? Can you look across the room and say, man, I can't wait to spend eternity with those people. I'm going to see you forever. That's what God has created for us. God loves community. We had the text read for us in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, but this corresponds perfectly with what is said in the New Testament, which we're very familiar with. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. What kind of language is he using here? Do you just see the individual in this text, or do you see the collective whole? This terminology teaches us that God's plan has always been to have a collective group of believers who are united and are together. They have the same beliefs, they have the same religion, they have a common unity with one another. That's what community truly is. The obvious design of this is because God is community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But the not so obvious is the wonderful benefits we experience, the blessings we receive when we act and function like a true godly community. Some of those wonderful blessings are sharing a common love. John 3:16, which we're all very familiar with this memory verse. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is not just a generic word for us to be nice to each other. This is agape love, which is much deeper than phileo or the other Greek words for love. This is unconditional love. This love means that it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to give something up. It's sacrificial love. That's why John 3:16 is so perfect to demonstrate to us what agape love looks like. God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only Son. He didn't give one of them. He gave his only. This cost him something. It was a price paid on our behalf. So sacrificial love is for the better of others, for the good of others. So we look for ways and opportunities to share this love with each other. And the real challenge for us is because we live in this world where people's doors are closed. We live in this closed off world, and that's being promoted more and more. I get the idea of social distancing, but I also see, and I hope we recognize, the danger in this. What this will do to the church in the long term. Because God wants us to be close-knit. He wants us to be together. But when we begin to promote and push social distancing more and more, that means people are growing further and further apart. That's not the idea of church. That's not what God has designed for us. What people begin to learn to do is not to truly love each other. Why? Because you're so far apart. Spiritually. Let me ask you a question. This is a challenge for all of us, including myself. Name the last time you remember sitting in your neighbor's living room having a conversation with them. Okay, maybe not their living room. Back up. What about their porch? When was the last time you sat and talked with your neighbor on their porch? When I grew up, our subdivision we lived in, it was a close-knit community. I mean, sometimes I would eat dinner at my friend's house, or they would come over to our house and have dinner, and there was no closed doors. We never locked our doors. Our door was open all the time. And if my friend was out of Mountain Dew, he would come over to our house and get Mountain Dew if we weren't home. Walk right through the front door. My dad would say, "What are you doing here?" But that's how close we were. It was a true community. Think about how much more the church should be close-knit. But we begin to put up walls against each other. All of us struggle with this. And I'm begging and pleading with all of us to help each other. I'm not perfect at this. I know you're not perfect at this. But the wonderful benefit in being a community of believers is we get to share a common love, agape love. We need to help each other do this. That's our aim. We share a common holiness. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16. But as he has called you as holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." Holiness means we are different than the world. We're set apart spiritually from them. This is what God wants for us. Is this easy? No. If you are truly in pursuit of holiness, what will you discover? You know what you'll discover? If you say, you know what, this next week, I have not focused on this, I have not tried to implement this in my life, but this next week I'm going to truly focus on being holy, like God is holy. You know what you'll learn? how unholy you really are. So what has God done or implemented to help us fix this dilemma? So you're in pursuit of holiness, you discover how unrighteous and how unholy you truly are. Guess what God has done for us? He's given us each other. He's given us a family that can help hold us accountable. We can help each other reach this goal of holiness. We're in pursuit of it with each other. We help each other. We hold each other up. Every time we mess up in our pursuit of holiness, every time we make mistakes, we have each other. When we're fighting battles against sin so we can be more holy, we have each other. We're in this together. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And I want you to notice the language again here that God's trying to give us. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, family, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. What is he telling us? You help each other. You're a community. You're a priesthood. You're a family. If someone's hurting, if someone's been overtaken by sin, you help each other. You hold each other accountable. Why? Because we love each other. We share in a common love. We share in a common holiness. That's the great blessing of community. Now, when I struggle doing this, I have you to help pick me up. When you're struggling, we have each other to help pick each other up. And what's wonderful about this is then the collective whole is holy. Not just the individual, the collective group. Community helps promote holiness. Another wonderful blessing is increase. And what do we mean by this? Increase means we get to grow together. We're increasing together. We're growing. Imagine what Jesus did. Why didn't Jesus, just for a moment, and you can say he did this on the Sermon on the Mount, he did it a few times, but why didn't Jesus just make it his aim and goal to take an old used milk carton, go into the public square, turn it over, and preach to the crowds over and over again? Why didn't he just preach more sermons publicly over and over and only? What did Jesus do to help people grow and increase spiritually? What did he do? He selected a few people and he trained them. He made it personal. See, what happens during this time is I have this pulpit in front of me. I'm 3 feet higher than you in hopes that you can hear me. But this comes across impersonal and unrelatable. Sometimes sermons, purposely because of people's level of education in biblical knowledge, sometimes they come across too vague or they're too broad. And I'm not saying that that's always bad. It just means this is not the approach Jesus took. Jesus personalized his ministry. He got into people's lives. He got on their porches. No matter what the CDC or the government was telling Jesus, he got involved with individuals. He took a group of people and he trained them personally. Jesus created a space where he could rebuke them, where he could challenge them to make them better. He helped them to think differently than they ever had before. He encouraged them that if one is growing and the other isn't, you help that individual. You grow as a group together. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Did he just mean you and I personally and your own personal private walk with God? Or was he talking about the collective group? All of you grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ together. You're a community. And community helps promote growth. It will help us all to increase. Let me ask you another question. and don't answer this out loud, just to yourself. What has helped you grow more? Hearing a bunch of sermons, coming to some Bible classes where you don't get to say anything, where you don't get to comment? Has that helped you more? Or has it helped you more to have a loved one who you knew loved you, and you loved them, you cared for one another, who sat across a kitchen table from you and answered any question that you had using the Bible? What has helped you grow more, this or having that loved one in your home teaching you? When Jesus sent out the 70 on a limited commission, he sent them out. He gave them what they needed to be successful. He equipped them. He gave them the instructions they needed to be victorious in their limited commission. And then you remember what happened when they came back? They shared their experience with Jesus, and he answered any questions they had. He helped the discussion further along. He talked with them about it. That's what helps people grow. If you go out on your own personal limited commission and you don't share your experience with anyone, then how will that help anyone else grow? Or how will that help anyone else on their own limited commission? If I go out and evangelize and I'm teaching people, or if I'm having Bible classes and no one else is supposed to know about it, then how can that help encourage you or help you in your evangelism? It's not going to help you grow. It's not going to help others grow. Jesus conversed with them. He addressed any questions or concerns they had about their experience. Perhaps the best part of all of this is we get to share in our love for God. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. When you read that, do you just see the individual or do you see the community? I love all of those who love me. He wants us all to be together in this. Having this close-knit community will help us to love God more. It will help us to be more thankful towards what God has done for us. If you noticed in Brother Dan's prayer, what did he say? Thank you for the church. Apply that to the lesson. Thank you for the community. Thank you for each soul who's here this morning. Thank you for each person who's tuning in who can't be here physically. We're in this together. Isn't life, it just goes by so fast, right? It's like a vapor. Kids grow up and in a week, they move out. Life goes by too fast. Today we have an opportunity to share in this love for God. That's what God has given us in this community. This is my prayer every night with the kids, to learn, to say thank you to God, to be more appreciative of this design for the Church of Christ. And this gratitude will help us to see the church, the community, to see God's people as God sees them, and to hold them up in the same value as God holds them up with the same value. You can no longer say, when you truly understand and see God's community, when you truly learn to love God together, you can never say, well, I don't need that person, or I don't need the church, or I just don't see any value in going to church anymore. When you understand community, then you learn to be more appreciative. If you're here this morning and you're not part of God's community, God would love to add you to the family. He would love for you to become a Christian. Why would you want to be on the outside of the camp? Why would you want to be apart from that? God wants you to have a family. He wants you to have people you can truly rely upon. Maybe you're here and you don't feel like you have a family anymore. How can we help you? How can we be like Jesus? How can we serve you better? Maybe you have questions. Don't hold those questions. seek answers. Seek biblical conclusions to those things. God has a response to anything that you're questioning or what you're struggling with. If we can help you in any way this morning, let that be known to the church as we stand and we sing.